the decorative panel that covers your instrument cluster and your radio and heater AC openings.
But the old days would have been called wood graining, I suppose.
Wood graining. Wood graining goes on the appliqué.
Yeah.
The appliqué is the carrier of the wood graining or the whatever finish or appearance that the stylist wants to convey to the public.
This particular cutout that you spoke of was probably rather utilitarian and did not appeal to the stylist on the truck.
True.
It was dictated from above somewhere.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
He felt that he could give them a much more modern looking appearance.
Yeah.
if we had been able to him style it and myself work it out engineering-wise with the plastic, because there are things that you can mold in plastic and definition and detail that you can get in plastic that you cannot get in stamped steel.
I pursue this because it's fascinating, I think, an example of how, would you not agree, as to how the stylist and the body engineer might be frustrated by someone making a decision at two or three levels above you, and then you having to live with it.
That's correct.
Having to work around it and not being able to deviate.
Yes.
Yeah. Were you and the stylist able to say to someone that this should be modified, or were you stymied in that particular tent?
We were stymied in that the mandate had come down from above.
When you say above, do you mean the executive engineering level?
That plus...
Or the product planning level?
Basically the product planning.
Yeah.
Because product planning does control the cost content of
right.
a particular
yeah.
program.
Did they think plastic would have been more expensive?
At that time, it probably would have been more expensive.
You could punch out an instrument panel much easier with
steel
than
you could set up
in the 60s.
Right.
Today it's just the opposite.
It's just the opposite because of the turnaround and the technology, the change, and the demand. Everything now is a trend to make everything lighter.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Getting the weight down.
I see here that you worked on the centerfold floor console for the 69 Mustang. That must have been interesting.
Yes, it was.
That was one of the very first, wasn't it?
No, there was a console in the 65 Mustang.
But it wasn't quite as sophisticated as the one in the 69.
That's right.
Yeah.
The one in the 69, the original intent was to have the armrest at the back of the console house a tape deck. And after preliminary styling, modeling, and that was approved, and engineering work was started on it, somebody one day, they made a fiberglass cast off of the clay model, and they put it in the environment of a vehicle, and when somebody went to shift from park to drive position with the floor shift that they had in that vehicle, or in that mock-up, they had trouble with their wrist because it kept hitting on the face of the tape deck. So that created a complete tear-up, and consequently it ended up only with a armrest with a little storage compartment.
Would have been a first, I think. Wouldn't have been close to it.
It would have been a disaster if they would have pursued it, because, for one thing, it'd be an awkward.
That's right.
It's in today's terminology of ergonomics and the safety bit. It would have been the fact that you had to really take your eyes in a different direction to operate that tape deck. At the time, it was a great idea, but it was one of those things that just never flew.
It had to wait for another 5 or 10 years.
Right. But they were never, and to this day, the only thing that they've been able to package in a console as far as armrest is concerned, is an armrest with a bin. They've never been able to
put anything on it.
Get anything, as far as I know.
The Maverick, which you worked on the interior trim on the original Maverick, was a great success, wasn't it?
Yes, that was one of the first programs where we went to a plastic ABS form quarter trim panel.
What does the acronym ABS stand for, do you know?
I have no idea.
But it's a standard plastic.
It's a standard plastic that's used. It's a polyurethane, polycarbonate type of material, a poly base.
Presumably manufactured by the ABS company.
I don't know. Yeah. It's a terminology that we've used in the business for years, and I just don't know what the origin of it is. But everybody, when you talk within the business, you mention ABS, they know what you're talking about. That was the first quarter trim panel that was made out of ABS. Mm-hmm. Some people might think, well, the Mustang, 65 Mustang was the first, but it was not. The 65 Mustang was a stamped textured steel panel, which was very expensive. Textured steel is very expensive. But anyhow, that program was particularly interesting because when they first styled it, the dictate was that they didn't want to pay for an armrest. They wanted it was going to be a low-cost vehicle, cheap vehicle, no armrest.
It was an economy model to start.
Yes, that was the design, the intent of it, a competitive economy type vehicle. So to take the cost out, keep the cost down, there would be no armrests designed for it. Well, in setting it up and the original design, the design was approved. It went to surface layout, started that process, and in doing some checking, I said, wait a minute. I said, there's a wheelhouse behind there someplace. So I cut some sections through the surface and located it in relationship to the wheelhouse, and sure enough, the wheelhouse has come right to the quarter trim panel. This is the interior quarter trim, not the exterior.
You're all right, yeah.
So bringing that to their attention, there was a scramble, and it was finally modified, and we were able to get an armrest for free, in as much as that we were dealing with the molded plastic. We were able to mold in an armrest, change the configuration, get an armrest, and clear the wheelhouse at the same time. Mm-hmm. So we came out of that one.
It's quite a triumph.
It was.
In terms of engineering.
Felt kind of, proud of that. Good. In that we discovered something and stopped it before it became a disaster.
You've spoken of some of your problems in the exploits in the truck interior section. Were there others working on problems you would not have in the passenger automobile? Passenger car automobile.
Yeah, within truck, I don't know how it functions today because it has become a separate entity, so to speak. They are combined, the truck interior and exterior now have been combined into one studio. Mm-hmm. And I have been out of contact with that particular division for some years, since 1976, in fact.
Right.
At that particular time when I was in the truck activity, the truck product planners were very, they didn't like to spend any money. They wanted change, but they didn't want to spend any money for the change.
Is this due to a decreased budget?
No, trucks just never seemed to get a big budget, mm-hmm. yet they were the biggest moneymaker for Ford Motor Company. There again, this is a personal opinion. If they could find what we call a shelf item, if they could find a light switch that was used in a car, a heater control head that was used in a car, a door handle that was used in a car, that was already tooled, made, you could...
Available.
It was available. Then they would work towards styling that way and using these components. Then they didn't have to pay for tooling costs. This possibly is why Truck in the earlier years was so successful, was such a good moneymaker, because they could say, as we call it in the business, they get lunch off of somebody else's work.
Good phrase, yeah. Capitalized.
Yes.
Right.
They saved a tremendous amount of money in tooling costs because they were very, they just didn't like the idea of having to design something new where they would have the tooling cost. If there was something similar, close to it, on a production car vehicle.
In the late 60s, you've been promoted now to engineering design senior. Is that still in the truck area?
That was in the truck area when I received that promotion, yes.
So you've really come to a real plateau here.
Yes, I've...
engineering design.
I've come to a plateau of I'm as high as I can go without going into management. The next step would be management. Shortly after, while I was in the truck, I was transferred to, within the interior studio, I was transferred to the instrument panel section. And shortly after that, I was asked by my supervisor if I would transfer to the instrument panel design buckroom.
Yes, now I'd like to zero in on that, if I may, Mr. Vivian. I'd like you to give us a sort of a picture of what the instrument panel design buckroom was and how it functioned.
The function of the instrument panel design buckroom was to build properties, a property being a something built of wood and aluminum and metal and plastic, a framework that we could then take a model of sorts and mount within this buck, this property.
This is wooden?
This wooden buck.
Or frame.
Frame.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where the term came from?
Buck? No, I have no idea where the term came from. And then you had two phases of buck design or buck build, one being the serviceability, manufacturing and serviceability buck, which was the instrument panel was made from a clear plastic Royalite vacuum form, which was taken from a mold of the approved clay model.
Mm-hmm. Royalite being a plastic used at that time.
Yes, and still used commercially. It's clear. You can get it in various colors, but for the instrument panel surfaces, the shape, it would be molded under heat and formed in the shape of the approved panel. Then, within that, the confines of that panel and the structure representing the firewall and the cowl of the vehicle, we would then attempt to package the known components, cluster, light switches, heater control heads, radio, glove box, ashtrays, all the components, and particularly the AC ducting and the defroster ducting. Package these components within this plastic panel so that then we could see where there would be interferences, where modifications would be required to the shape of a duct or a downsizing of a switch or of a radio or whatever component would be causing the interference to another structural item.
These are to scale.
These are as close to scale as possible. These representative parts within this plastic shell would be made out of styrofoam. They could be made out of a block of wood. We tried to use production carryover components that we knew that would be used in the program as much as possible. But in the case of AC ducting and defroster ducts and clusters, in many cases we didn't have a carryover item per se. So we had to go with preliminary information and shape something out of wood or styrofoam and mount it with some brackets and what have you. So that then when all of these things were put together, naturally it was as close to scale as we could possibly do at that time. The serviceability people then would come over and review it in anticipation of how they would, what they would have to go through to service a particular item behind that instrument panel. How would they get to that item to service it if it went bad? And
so serviceability becomes a very important link here.
Very definitely. Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't build them that they last forever. Things do go bad, do go wrong, so we have to be able to get at them to service them. And this, there again, is part of an integrated part of the engineering design process within the design center, that we've got to use the knowledge that we have garnered over the years of how do you, first of all, make it, how do you assemble it, and how do you service it. The other aspect of the buck room was a building of a reach and visibility buck, which
this is the ergonomic principle.
This is the ergonomic principle, where we have a fiberglass cast of the approved instrument panel, and within that cast, then we try to simulate as closely as possible the proper cluster appearance. The where possible, we mount functional light switches, radios, heater control heads. We try to make functional ashtrays of the approved design. AC registers are plugged in the proper location. We have, we always try to have a functional, proper steering column with the ignition key, the stock controls on the column. We always tried to have a functional glove box, latching glove box, so that, and then we would decorate it. When I say decorate it, it would be painted. We would try to simulate the decorative theme of the panel, where there would be some kind of wood graining. We would try to put the wood graining. We would try to simulate any bright beads that would be on the panel, this type of thing, so that when the... A bead being a raised or a depressed portion that would be like an ornament, a decorative type of thing. Right. It would be running horizontal, vertically,
circular,
whatever. It would be something that would be, a bead would be something that would be highlighting something else. And maybe the frame opening of the radio opening, radio face opening. When we got all of these things completed on the panel, the buck would also, this particular buck, the serviceability buck was just the instrument panel.
Right.
With simulating the floor and the tunnel and the cowl, the reach and vision buck would have seats in it, statically tested seats for the proper package, to the proper package points. We would have a plexiglass windshield in place, so that we then could send the buck to the lighting room over at EED. They could check the lighting reflections of the cluster into the windshield.
EBD means Engineering Department. Yeah.
Electronic Division.
Yeah.
Electrical Division.
Electrical Division.
Yeah. Management, product planning, whoever reviewed the property could set in the property and operate certain controls and could visually see other controls and cluster and what have you, view it through the steering wheel, what was visible, what was blocked out. They could reach, they could check the reach factor, the ease of operation of the controls within the environment that they were within, all within the package parameter set up by the package group way back when.
Now, supposing, as I'm sure often happened, one of these product planners felt somebody was out of reach or too awkward to work with, what would they do?
Then you would go back to the drawing board, and you would check out your information. You would check out to see that the control or whatever was in question was in the proper dimensional attitude that it was designed in. Then you would check it to the Ford design standards and see if it was within, met the design standards. If it was within standard, then it was reviewed that it's a particular individual case of he doesn't like the reach, the feel, or what have you.
Yes, right. Yeah.
If it was out of the standard, then it became a case of you had to take it through committee, upper management approval, and write a deviation. If they liked the appearance and everything else, but it was slightly out of package, out of design standard, you can get a deviation written on it, but it's got to be approved all the way up to the top
this
man.
This is known as exception to package.
Yes, yeah. That's true.
I wonder if I can ask you something that has bothered me all these years. I have a 78 Fairmont.
Yes.
And I buy carbon fiber in 10 years. I was amazed to find that the horn and all the controls in the operating controls in the windshield wiper, the horn, whatever else is on there, were on two stalks attached to the steering column. Can you give us sort of a case history of how that came about? That must have been very close to your area, wasn't that?
Yes. The European influence is what created that.
Mm-hmm.
The compactness of the European vehicles that we were dealing with at that time.
Mm-hmm.
This was a feature that they had. It's also was a cost savings.
Mm-hmm. Smaller package.
Smaller package. We were able to package more components that function in one thing. When you can get a stock control that will house a headlight bright switch, windshield washer off-on type of thing, and a turn signal, all within one switch, but one control, basically one lever operates, or some portion of that lever operates all of these things. Then
it must have sounded very good in committee. But what about the person who came along and said, "I'm sorry, every time I reach for the dimmer switch, I turn on the windshield washer."
Right.
What was their reaction to that?
We've had customer reaction to it.
But wasn't this encountered in your buck room? Didn't people come and say, "Hey, Herb, this may be a problem"?
No, because the decision was already made by higher up that this is the way it would go. And the way this was arrived at was that they would take preliminary, not my particular properties, but properties similar to mine that would not have, let's say, the detail or give away the theme or the style of our panel to competitors, they would take kind of basically a blank panel, and they would put some components in it of no, and then they would send these panels out on what they called survey. They would send them to California, or they would maybe Toledo, Ohio, and they would have housewives, businessmen come in, you know, and they'd run the particular survey. What do you like about this panel? What don't you like about
it? Would you have a mock-up?
They would have a mock-up, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, and this is how marketing would come back, and then product planning would get with marketing. And so the decision as far as the stock controls on the column, this was because of the tremendous influence of the European imports coming in. It forced us to be competitive, so to speak, and go to that type of design. Design today, in some of the higher priced vehicles, is that pertaining to the horn.
Yeah.
It is coming back on the steering wheel where you're going to push, where you used to push years ago.
I'm going to have a hell of a time. I get a new car because I've been conditioned now after years of pushing on the top of the steering post.
Now you're conditioned to push the stock.
I'm conditioned for the stock, and now you tell me I've got to start all over again. That's fascinating.
This is, they have found in, I'm not going to say that this is in all Ford products.
Yeah.
I'm saying that in
certain
some of the, let's say the luxury car, the bigger cars, they are going back to the steering wheel horn blow, as opposed to the stock.
The stock instruments.
Yes.
Well, obviously, this the panel design buckroom is a very key segment of the design and engineering process.
It is. It developed, it evolved, and it developed into a very necessary function, I feel, and with a great amount of expertise. Of course, any department, it was a small group. There was only three of us involved. I had myself, I had another designer, and an all-around shop man that could work in wood, metal, plastic, whatever.
Wonderful.
And we worked well together as a team. Then I was transferred by management's dictate that they were going to play musical bodies. They were going to transfer people around to broaden their knowledge of the overall operation. So I was transferred out of the buckroom. The fellow that was transferred in to take my place evidently wasn't as knowledgeable overall as I was, didn't have my background, and the operation seemed to flounder down there, and management was also rotated, and the new management didn't seem to grasp hold of the importance, at least my feeling of whether they didn't grasp hold of the importance of the operation down there and the function that it served.
Right.
And so they more or less didn't pay too much attention to it and didn't really know why it functioned, and so it still functions, I don't feel as efficiently as it did when I was in the operation with the management that I had controlling it.
And the assistants you had.
Yes.
Yes. So for
completely
for
a whole new crew.
Pardon?
It's completely a whole new crew down there now.
So for reasons of internal policy, you've been moved to small car exterior studios.
Yes.
You undoubtedly did not want to leave the Buck area, but this was a chance to do exteriors now that you hadn't had too much experience with
them. Well, it was a chance that I didn't ask for and wasn't particularly interested in, but management thrust it upon me through the rotation of personnel because of my classification being a senior designer.
Right, yeah.
So I went to the small car exterior studio for short period of time, I believe about 9 months or so.
Was that a good experience for you?
Yes.
By that I mean, was it an enriching experience?
I learned a little bit more about manufacturing, because one of the programs we were working on was the front end change to the Mustang, where we went to the soft fascia front end on the Mustang.
The plastic?
The plastic.
The plastic egg crate?
Yes.
Effect.
And also getting into the bumper impact.
Fascia is
the front area, the frontal area of a vehicle or a particular item that is the facial, the face of.
Yeah, right.
It, we also got, we're starting to get into the, they were already into it, but it was information that I picked up as far as the bumper impact area on bumpers.
The federal regulation.
Right, meeting the federal regulations and what have you, how much collapse and this type of thing.
This gave you quite a bit of, quite a few new problems, did it not, in
yes.
terms of screen styling?
It, you know, because I had spent several years in the interior and what have you, now it was a shift not only in work material, but also a change in the personnel that I was working with.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, wherever you work, you have people that you work with that are, each one is his own personality.
Mm-hmm.
And to change a job and have to learn new work and also new personalities, and they in turn have got to learn your personality.
Right.
And in many cases, there is a resentment because you are an outsider coming into their group, whether you ask for it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got new management. You've got to learn their personalities, their quirks, their desires, how they operate. So it's, if it's not a move that you wanted in the first place, it's a, it places you in a difficult situation. Myself, I was very content with my operation in the buck room.
Mm-hmm.
I felt gratified because my work was appreciated. I got some exposure to management, mm-hmm. maybe not personally, but my properties.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now I was taken away from that and put in an entirely new situation with new management, new people to work with. Had to learn new standards, because the way I look at it today, everything is being governed by standards.
Who sets these standards besides the federal government?
Federal government and Ford Motor Company.
Okay.
Federal government has got their standards, and Ford Motor Company have got additional standards.
And they're fairly rigid.
Yes.
Yes.
So you have to learn these guidelines, these standards, that, and you've got to work within these standards as far as your design.
Mm-hmm.
is concerned. Like I say, I spent about maybe 9 months there. Then I was transferred to the exterior feasibility studio, where the in the exterior studios, after the clay models of the exterior are approved, then they are shifted to the feasibility studio, where all the final tune-up and everything is done and accomplished in clay, and feased out, as we call it. In other words, they make it feasible as far as
workable
as far as the design gaps at the door openings,
mm-hmm.
making sure that those are in clay, the proper dimension.
Mm-hmm.
You're working with suppliers or body engineering people, what have you, that come over and can look at the clay. They can take a quick section. Somebody supplies them a quick section,
mm-hmm.
or we have gotten the surface off of the panel of the exterior, and we give it to body engineering, and they start to develop it, and they say, yes, that's feasible. You can have that crease, that highlight line. You no, you can't have that sharper turnover at the top of the from the quarter panel to the deck lid. You've got to soften it with a bigger radius. This is all worked out in the feasibility studio.
Very important process.
Very important process. Yeah. Very definitely a very important process.
Which gave you some satisfaction?
Not to that point, because I wasn't involved in that portion of it. All I was involved with when I was in the Fee studio was I was transferred to the Fee studio, and my classification was changed to an exterior ornamentation specialist. In other words, my job was moldings.
Ah, I see.
I would work with the styling people and work with body engineering people and also some suppliers as to the feasibility of a molding or moldings, how it was to be made, could it be made, and the type of materials it could be made out of, and what the options, what options I could tell the stylist that he could have, as far as if he wanted a soft or rub strip type of molding.
These are exterior
moldings. Exterior moldings.
What is a molding precisely?
A molding is...
Illustrate it for us.
A molding is a strip, normally, of metal.
Mm-hmm. Could be outcropping or could, inward.
Normally it is stands out from the surface.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there are cases where there is a low spot or a crease or a valley in a particular surface or area, and it can be depressed. Molding in most cases is decorative.
Mm-hmm. In other words, it's added after the original design.
That's correct. It's
a finishing touch, maybe.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's a decorative item. Mm-hmm. Now, today, with our new design and what have you, we also are striving the moldings become functional. Body protection.
Yes, good.
You look at a body side molding that runs from the front wheelhouse opening to the rear wheelhouse opening. It'll be in pieces, you know, because you're going from a front fender across a door, across a quarter panel. But it'll be a metal molding, but it'll have a plastic or rubbery type of insert, you know,
right.
So that when somebody opens the door adjacent to you, the edge of the door is going to hit that and bounce back. It's not going to hit the molding and put a ding in a solid stainless steel or aluminum, polished aluminum, anodized aluminum molding, or it's not going to hit the body of your vehicle and put a chip in the paint.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You also have got the all rubberized or there again, it's a vinyl poly type of molding that is can almost be solid rubberized material like that that you see a lot on the lower portions of a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And these are used a lot of times to prevent stone pecking. In other words, you get stones coming up off your tires or off the road.
The old stone flectors.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
To protect the bottom portion of your vehicle. Worked on that until they had
a... Did you also work on hood ornaments?
No. Hood ornaments, as you speak of hood ornaments, no longer exist.
Exactly, right. But there are devices.
There are devices where we've got a decorative ornament.
Mm-hmm.
There again, being an ornamentation specialist, that I would look at it, I would advise, counsel, so to speak, the styling people on it.
Mm-hmm.
I would work, because most of the hood ornaments, as we know them today, are supplied by suppliers.
All right. Mm-hmm.
So I would then have to deal with the supplier and get his input into it. And basically he'd say, yeah, we can make it, or no, we can't make it that way. And then I would report it back with his recommendations on what modifications would have to be made to accomplish what the stylist wanted in appearance.
In terms of ornamentation, they've become much sparser, have they not, in recent models?
Yes. It's become sparse in that ornamentation serves no function.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's a cost penalty, not only in manufacturing, but it also is a cost penalty in weight.
So it's really become a costly bit of gingerbread.
Yes.
It's been largely deleted.
Right.
Yeah.
And tremendous amount of the ornamentation around a windshield and or a backlight,
mm-hmm.
Is pretty generally always aluminum.
Really?
Aluminum, mm-hmm. Yes, stamping or rolled section. Body side moldings now are becoming pretty much of a plastic rubber insert type of thing.
What about the chrome moldings that have been so popular until very recently?
Chrome, no. There's no chrome moldings.
Well, I mean, what we call chrome.
What we call chrome is nothing more than polished, anodized aluminum.
Has it really?
Yes.
Since when?
Oh, that's been going on since...
Really? That long? Still known generally as chrome,
yeah.
To the
well,
consumer.
Well, prior to the aluminum, you had polished stainless steel.
Oh, my gosh.
You know.
Uh-huh.
So.
Chrome was just too much expensive to
very,
paint it on.
That's right. You can, now you can get plastic moldings that simulate, because they have a polished silver chrome appearance film that they can apply to them, hot stamp it right on there. It looks like it's a
incredible.
Chrome molding, and it's it's not. It's really incredible.
GE is in this business heavily, are they not? The automotive plastic business?
Well, there are several. You could, so many of the large major manufacturing people, General Electric, Pittsburgh,
Plate Glass.
We have our own vinyl plant.
That's right. Where is it?
Up in Utica.
Utica.
Where the Ford Motor Company makes vinyls for a tremendous amount of industrial people. I mean, they not only supplied for the Ford Motor Company for door trim panels and seats and what have you, but also to our competitors.
I forgot to ask you, in your interior work, did you work with the steering wheels and seats and coverings and that sort of thing? Was that part of your...
Steering wheels, yes. I've worked with the steering wheels. I've done some engineering drafting design,
mm-hmm.
to assist the stylist,
mm-hmm.
and also the manufacturers within our company. On that, I've had very little exposure as far as seats were concerned. Door trim panels, I've had some exposure and have done some work on door trim panels, particularly molded formed door trim panels as opposed to the fully soft trim boards, as we call them, that were attached. When you get into a formed trim panel on a door, that it's a molded panel then, and it has to be covered, and we work on it that way.
In the time remaining, Mr. Bibby, can you sort of sum up your philosophy as it's evolved over your career in the automobile industry?
Well, I don't think there's any philosophy. It's just the experience and whatever expertise I've acquired over the years have all been working towards an end, and at this point in time, that end is to aid and assist the design stylist in bringing forth whatever creation he has created, and to bring it into a reality of production, manufacturing, and putting the product on the road.
Obviously a very important link in the design process.
I would like to think so.
And now, as of 1982, you're happily back in interiors.
Yes.
Much more contented.
Yes, because I'm back within an area that I have much more expertise in or knowledge.
Good.
And I feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that I can do a better job because I'm back with people that I've worked with in the past, and the rapport is there. And you can do a better job when you're content with the people that you're working with.
On the whole, it's been a satisfying career for you.
It is. Ford Motor Company has been very good to me. Financially, I've been disappointed.